welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very pleased to have with me in the studio today Dr. Suzanne Gatt. This isn't the first time you've come to speak to us, but I'm delighted to have you on the programme again. Just a few words about Dr. Gatt. She's a senior lecturer responsible for teacher training in primary science and primary environmental education here at the Faculty of Education. She's a science educator and has conducted research and published on various aspects of education, including children's ideas on plants and animals, constructivism, education reform at European level, career guidance, employment and gender mainstreaming, amongst other areas. Dr. Gatt has a variety, in fact, of research interests related to education. One of her research interests these last years has been European integration and reform in education. She was a contributor to the Bologna Process National Report back in 2005, developing the diploma supplement at the University of Malta and academic research for the Bologna Experts Group in Malta and publishing also in journals. She has also been working closely with the Malta Qualifications Council, drafting policy documents, and she's one of the main researchers in the FP6 integrated project included, which actually now concluded, that was on social inclusion in education, where she was a work package leader of the research focusing on community involvement in schools. She is coordinator of PRI-SciNet, promoting inquiry-based learning in science at primary level. And she's also a partner in Creative Little Scientists project, about which we shall be speaking today. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Gatt.
Thank you.
I know that you've been involved in European projects for quite some years, when we were still within the university trying to sort of persuade people that it was a good idea to get involved in projects. You really took the bull by the horns, went on and was one of the pioneers,
yes,
I might say.
Yes, actually, probably I was one of the first. I remember my first experience was in the year 2000, and I was sent to attend one of these teacher training courses. It was there that I realized there was so much funds and things one can do in collaboration with Europe and to carry out research and to use that research also to bring about change in our education system at national level too.
This particular project sounds absolutely gorgeous, Creative Little Scientists project. There is a great need, I would imagine, to start encouraging children from an early age to be participative in the field of science, because we seem to be in great need of scientists in general in Europe, certainly.
Well, it's very interesting. I'm very happy to be part of this project because it's the only project which was funded in this area. The focus on early childhood education is a recent one, and the role of science in early childhood education is even a younger area. So we, as science educators, we have maybe these past 10 years started looking at, well, you know, three-year-olds can do science. Three-year-olds can ask questions and draw conclusions. They can try things out. They can investigate. They can actually do scientific activities in their play way. And you are right. There is a recognition that we have to start them young. I remember one of the presentations at the commission, and they said, you know, when youths are at the age of 16, we compensate for what has gone wrong in education. When we work at early within the education, then we are intervening while they are falling back. But when we are actually talking about and tackling three-year-olds and five-year-olds, this is prevention. So this is why the focus in early years, in early childhood education at such a young age, because we can prevent problems in education further on so that more of our kids are successful in life and successful in education. The focus of the project is, you know, it's Creative Little Scientists. So we are looking at what type of science young children between ages, we include even nurseries, from nursery age up to the age of 8, what type of science, what governments are promoting in that area, what we do we think literature and research is showing us is worth doing and has been shown to be successful. And we are comparing science as against mathematics, because everywhere mathematics is a core subject, and science is given different amount of attention and importance across European member states. And we are asking the question not only of what how much science and what type of science, but also the creativity. What type of creativity is being nurtured through science, and what type of creativity, how can science be used as a context also to promote creativity, because science is science requires a degree of innovation. So if we want creative scientists, we have to start them young.
Before we go into what you've actually been doing, and I know you've been doing a lot and looking in this project at various angles to the challenge, to go back a bit to the organisation of the project itself, I know you've got quite a few people involved. You actually are a partner, which in itself is a very onerous task. I've been involved in an EU project and I know what being a partner means.
Well, it is a very strong consortium. It is coordinated by an institution in Greece, Nenagogi, and is very successful in carrying out and executing EU projects. But I believe they have done a very good job in bringing together key experts in the area, because we have from the Open University Anna Kraft, who is a key researcher in the area of creativity, and then we have Institute of Education, there's University of Malta, there's Portugal, there's Germany, there's Finland. So we are we cover quite a wide range of European countries. So it's bringing together primary science educators with the experts in creativity. And it's an interesting mix, because they bring into the group, especially the people from creativity, different types of looking at science and what creativity is to what science educators we're used to deal with. And this is why it is, I would say, it's a very strong consortium, probably because this was one of the main reasons why our project was chosen, because only one project was funded.
When you look at teaching science to young people in Europe, is there a lack of science teaching at a young age in all the countries, say, of this consortium, so you've probably looked into the science? Or are they better at it in Scandinavia than in the rest of Europe?
Well, if one looks at the PISA results, Scandinavia is again among the best countries in science, because they do the assessment at age of 9. So this is why the interest in early years, because at the age, we are studying up to the age of 8. So we are looking at what happens before children sit for the PISA a year before. So the PISA really is the outcome of what has happened in those 8 years.
The PISA is something?
The PISA is an international assessment system, and a number of countries across the world, I think around about 45 different countries, participate. This is how we know that Finland and Scandinavian countries are the best. They are getting very good results. Malta has only, I think, in 2011, really officially participated in the full assessment, but there were pilots. And if one looks actually at our Vision for Science Education policy document, there is a reference to PISA, which was, I think, with age 14 then, in the piloting, and we did not do very well in science. So this is why also in Malta we are focusing on science. With respect to the amount and type of science in early years across Europe, you'll find different levels of importance given to science, and different ways of what it means to do science. So There are countries which maybe give a bit more, but it's more traditional, whereas others give less importance, maybe do not even label it as science, but doesn't mean that science is not taking place. What is sure is that there needs to be more attention given to science, I think, across Europe at the early age.
And it strikes me, obviously I'm looking at it from the outside, it's not my area, but there is this need as well to do what you're doing, looking at science in a different way. Obviously with children you have to look at it in a different way anyway, rather than, you know, when you're looking at teenagers. But you're looking at sort of two fields, two areas, and putting them together, the creativity side and the scientific side. And that seems to be a trend as well now in many areas, where you're sort of putting two disciplines together.
Yes, well, actually I would say three, because in the other projects, you know, PrisiNet, where we are promoting inquiry-based learning in science, this is the methodology that we are trying to promote across Europe, that children ask questions and try to find the evidence, collect evidence, and then draw conclusions on the evidence they've gathered. And the argument is this is not only good for science, this is good across. But when we are talking about early years, the third dimension is the early years, because we are talking about 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds. Their literacy levels are not as developed as 9, 10-year-olds. So it's totally different from what you can do with older children still in primary school. So the three dimensions are right, science, creativity, but even the early years. That is where a lot of foundation concepts are learned, and it's extremely, as I said, prevention earlier on. So we are really focusing on those young ages to see what's going on, what is being done, and what our research shows us, because we will go into the classrooms and we will gather data to see whether we can identify good practices and to present to the European Commission with not only results about how the state is, but also what can be done.
The approach to this research is with a literature review. I mean, that is how it's normally, you know, go about a piece of research, and this is no exception. How have you gone about this literature review in preparation for the following steps of the project?
We as a group consider this as a major important aspect, and we as a group we focused on different areas, what the understanding of creativity is. I personally have worked with my colleague from Finland, and we looked at what comparative studies exist with respect to early years. When we talk about comparative studies, we are talking about studies which compare one country, different countries. Now, we have found an interest in the past 10 years in early childhood education. So, for example, OECD has published a number of studies, but it focuses more on the provision of childcare, because many times it's economic and related to employment. They do touch a little bit on education, but the link between what happens with kids at the age of 5 and the consequence of that experience 20 years down the line when they are 25 and looking for a job, I think is a really recent phenomenon that we are looking at. What we found is that, for example, Eurydice, which carries out regular studies across Europe, many times divides the studies into primary and secondary. So what we found was, yes, there is data being collected about young kids, especially within compulsory age. I would say the preschool, what we know as kindergarten here in Malta, hasn't really been given much attention in terms of educational development. But since it's collected together with primary, the focus is not there. That probably what we found is, and one of our recommendations is, that maybe they need now, you know, when they do these studies from ages 5 to 16, that rather than dividing it from primary to secondary, actually say early years, junior years, and the secondary years of education, because there is a big difference between before age of 8 and after the age of 8. So that's one of the, what we found is that there has been attention, but not really a focus on the early years and
so
focus
this is
on. So what we're doing
going to
is
be innovative.
We're pushing the boundaries that we are gathering data on early years, but early years in science, and adding, you know, the dimension of creativity makes it even more innovative.
And after this literature review comes policy analysis?
Yes. What we've done is we've put our heads and minds together and my colleagues from Belgium have been very good at this. We have gone through an exercise to identify what aspects of education would we like to look at. So we are talking about what type of science education governments and policy actually are advocating, what type of resources, what type of qualifications from teachers they are expecting, what time of allocation are they giving to science, what degree of importance. We've really had, you know, an extremely long list, and what we were asked to do, each one, to look at our policy documents and to analyze what these policy documents say with respect to these aspects. Now, in my case, it was an added interesting exercise, because I could compare the national curriculum document, which is still in force since 1999, and the new proposed national curriculum framework and vision for education policy, which are still under consultation process. And one could trace the difference thinking and the way education is viewed and the way science education. So, for example, whereas in 1999 the focus was on knowledge, content and process and constructivism, how children understand, construct concepts, now we talk about how children inquire, ask questions. And it's interesting to see that, yes, in the vision for science education there is a section dedicated to early years, whereas this was not really an area in science. One would not find this in the 1999 document. With relation to creativity, there is, in Malta, we have talked about in the curriculum framework innovation and creativity, and it is a cross-curricular team, which means that it also involves, it cuts across all subjects. So this is something, creativity and innovation has to promote it across all subjects of the curriculum, and this includes also science. So it was interesting to see how difference. We one of the things we realized is that there's a difference between preschool and compulsory, and in Malta even the teacher training part for preschool. Our faculty has started the new BEd early years, so we have started training teachers at preschool to be also graduates, as they are required to be within compulsory. And this is what the childhood, the policy, national policy for childcare in Malta actually advocates, that we should have also professionals dealing with 3-year-olds, which means we have to upgrade a lot of teachers who have got either the MCAST or the old, which is a vocational qualification. So we need to top up their training so that we are in line with many of the countries across Europe also.
And after the policy analysis, a survey?
Yes, because so far we've seen what policy is saying and what policy wants to achieve. And then we would like to see what's actually happening. So we're starting off, and this is step one of learning about what really is actually taking place in schools and in childcare centers. So we have quite a demanding and extensive survey, which we will, I'm currently, you know, waiting for the teachers to go back to school, and they will find my survey ready there, to collect data from a sample of, I think, over 200 teachers.
That's just here in Malta, of
yes,
course.
Of course,
the same thing is going on in all the other
contributing
countries.
Yes, they are luckier than, because they started in earlier collecting data, because the holidays, and many of the, especially northern countries, start in September, 1st of September, so I'm waiting for...
We've got a head start on
yes.
you.
Yes. then, following the results from the survey, we will do qualitative studies, some classroom observations, so that we really go in and see and collect data about the type of science and where we can see that creativity is being promoted with the early years.
And do you, qualitative in the sense that obviously we teach, talk to the teachers and have one-to-one conversations with them or focus groups or whatever. Do you speak to the children as well?
Yeah,
to get that chance?
We observe for sure. We will observe for sure. And since we haven't yet arrived at that point, we haven't really decided on... Well, I've done research with young kids under the age of 7, extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. But yes, it is. I hope we'll be open to, because children today have opinions and they are much more eloquent in expressing their opinions than we were at our at their age.
Most definitely.
Yes, and they have very clear opinions about what they should or should not do at school also.
Yes. So you'll be looking at the children's attitudes as well. And within the project, will you be having a sort of get-together to exchange the information that you have found? I mean, will you be organizing a conference between the partners or the
One of the dimension of any project is what we call dissemination. This is also why I am here, because if we do carry out research and it ends up on a shelf, it's not worth. I mean, we know that the European Commission wanted this project because probably it wants to push recommendations and policies at European level, but in education, the responsibility always, ultimate responsibility always remains with the country. So the European Commission cannot go beyond a recommendation of doing science and doing inquiry science and this type of creativity. You can do this. We have the research to show it. That's the boundary up to which European Commission can go. But we also like, it's our responsibility to share the research we have gathered with practitioners and other researchers, but especially practitioners, to be an inspiration. A lot of today, many teachers as graduates, and many of them even in Malta doing their masters, are more and more interested in what research says, and they can see the link between what research finds and say, aha, yes, let me try, I've read about this, I would like to try it out. So that is the practical dimension of, I plan hopefully next year to have a seminar for teachers, and it depends, but sometimes it's very difficult to get teachers out of school, so sometimes we work around and we go to schools. We try to work around the system so that we try and reach key players, where we start usually with the stakeholders, those who are responsible at maybe directorate level or coordinators or heads of school, and then move down to classroom.
Because as a teacher, I think it is a good thing if they know that the university is interested in supporting them at the end of the day, because of what the work you're doing eventually is going to sort of go down to the classroom level and will be of assistance to those teachers who are involved in this work.
Yes, my experience is that one thing which works is that teachers who are involved, and there is sometimes I like to invite them to speak, because teachers, when they see other teachers, say, I can do it, I've been doing this. You know, I didn't know it was such good practice, you know, to be promoted, you know, and shared at with other countries and maybe at European level. It inspires teachers, because they can see that people are talking from their own experience, and this is, you know, it brings to attention the role of science and creativity, and it's a role of it's a possibility for professional development of teachers.
How long will this project be on for now?
I think I have another 2-2.5 years, because it's quite
a long stretch.
Yes, we are working extremely hard, and it's really a demanding on the research, and because we really want to do a good job.
And this is over and above, obviously, your own lecturing duties.
It is really a pleasure to, first of all, to work with colleagues in other universities and to contribute to the area of science education. I am one who always advocates for science education, especially in primary and even the early years, is still so young that many times it is a small area within secondary, and I believe very strongly that it should have the attention it's an area of knowledge to itself, because as you said at the beginning, doing science with kids is totally different from secondary science, and you're absolutely right that you cannot think about doing science with young kids in any way, not simple secondary science. It's totally different. But some skills, especially mental skills, like, you know, how to ask a good question, which you can then investigate, how to design your investigation, how to gather your evidence and sit down and reflect and say, aha, let me see. So out of 5 snails, 4 went to eat tomatoes, 1 chose lettuce. Can I say that all snails prefer tomatoes? And the answer is no, because one of them didn't. So it's saying, aha, I have to say most of them. Now, these reflections, and I've had some of my students actually carrying out, and I've had assignments reading these earlier teachers say, we never realized children could be so reflective and insightful, because they were actually noticing this, not all of them, some of them. So can you say it with absolutely convinced, or is it a preference? And there's a difference, because science is not as many people think, as exact as people think. Mm-hmm. And we need scientists to work within this view of science.
Having not been a scientist at all myself, not even in my school days, I'm afraid, I think it's such a wonderful world, and I really wish I was sort of 3 years old again, because I'm sure that science presented in this manner would be of really fascinating, and I'm sure there'll be many more students now who will be interested in carrying on with science, and as you say, learning life skills rather than just scientific skills as well. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Suzanne Gutt, for coming to talk to us about this wonderful project, Creative Little Scientists. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.